This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. The implications of this current pandemic for business are dire and far-reaching, and with different markets at varying stages of recovery in Asia Pacific, what will this new normal look for enterprises? Today on the show with me is Stephen McNulty of Micro Focus, and we're going to be talking about how they are helping businesses to strengthen their digital agenda and business continuity with adoption of technology across the four main pillars. Stephen, perhaps a quick introduction about yourself first.
Sure. So, name's Stephen McNulty. I'm the president of Asia Pacific. So, I run everything from Japan to India and Australia or New Zealand, I guess, at the extremities and everything in the middle. I've been with the company about 4.5 years. Micro Focus itself has been in business for over 40 years, headquartered in the UK, listed on the London Stock Exchange. We started out over 40 years ago with one simple purpose, and that was to help companies move COBOL applications off of the mainframe onto distributed, cheaper systems. And we've expanded in the 40 years since into many other areas like cybersecurity, hybrid IT management or multi-cloud infrastructure management, application development, big data. Strange and funny in a sort of bizarre way is that what we started out with over 40 years ago, moving companies off of the mainframe, it's been quite steady over the last 30, 40 years. But in the last 5 years, it's picked up immensely, and it's now one of our fastest growing businesses because there's so many companies now wanting to move, keep their COBOL applications because they run well and they're the mainstream of the company. For example, credit card processing, etc. But move off of the mainframe and move on to public clouds like Azure or Amazon Web Services, etc. So the oldest part of our company is bizarrely the fastest growing part of our company. And, I don't want to jump ahead to the COVID side of the story because we can talk about that a little bit later. But we're definitely seeing an increase in activity around COVID-related migrations as well. So I'll talk a little bit about that later in the podcast.
Which is interesting, right? Because a lot of people would assume that over the course of the 4 to 5 months, it has really accelerated this digital agenda around the world. But, it's actually been happening for the last 4 to 5 years. It's just that COVID-19 has just sort of given it like a little injection boost into, those who kind of like refuse to jump on this, train for the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, well, I guess everything in IT costs money and people tend to have a time frame of I'll do this, then that, then whatever. And, that plans out for many, many years. The one thing that COVID has done, as we've all seen, even just in personal aspects of our life, like going to the doctor, people are trying to have zero touch where possible now. So companies have reevaluated how they will interact with customers and accelerated digitization at the expense of other projects. And I saw an article from McKinsey a couple of days ago, and it said that COVID is faster, is bringing forward by 5 years people's plans to digitally transform. So the things that they had as sort of phase two, phase three, phase 23 are now in phase one, two, and three. And hence the increase in people looking to migrate off the mainframe. Because, mainframes are great, they're secure, they're fast, but the one thing they're not is open. So to open them up, they need to move them to the cloud and connect them to other applications. Hence the increase in interest and people wanting to do that.
And that's interesting because in terms of a strategy, if one were to, adopt a digital transformation within their organization, it would take months. But COVID-19 has really kind of like, made companies accelerated in this agenda in 2 to 3 weeks, some even quicker than that. In terms of, from your perspective, how much of what we know and what we can actually do with the strategy in moving with digital transformation is different from now in terms of deploying it in this such short space of time?
So the deployment timeframes themselves haven't really changed because these are reasonably big projects, like taking a core banking system, for example, off the mainframe and moving it to Azure or AWS. But what has changed is that the sequential approach of I'll do this, then that, then something else. It's now how fast can I do these projects at the expense of other projects. So what people are looking for now is increased agility and openness so they can digitize. And then the complexity of working from home and not just lower touch points between a customer and the whoever's providing the services, but even lower touch points within an organization as well. So in a lot of these situations we were already working with customers on, you know, proofs of concepts over the years. Anyway, given that they are big projects, it's just accelerated it. But when it accelerates everything around it as well, because it does, you know, as soon as you change anything in a system, it opens up the risk of something going wrong, you know, cybersecurity breach or whatever. So very big increase in interest in various aspects of cyber as well.
And that's a different type of challenge because, like you mentioned, there are, you know, I think around the world, everyone was experiencing the work from home and yet companies were forced to, you know, employ some form of, you know, digital transformation within the organization. So how did you sort of, you know, cope with those kind of changes where it's, you know, accelerated in all fronts?
Working from home, I guess people have a nice image of I'm at home with my family and I'm locked away in my study, therefore I'm secure because my spouse or children are not going to steal anything. But working from home can mean working from Starbucks. It can mean working from a premise. It's a shared premise. You know, it's a house that I share with other people that are maybe friends of mine. So you can imagine the risk of open laptops, you know, people breaking into or accessing houses because they've typically have less security than an office building. So when if you've got, you know, 1,000 or 500 or 20,000 employees, and all of a sudden you've got 20,000 points of potential breach, the analytics involved in analysing what is a serious threat and what is just noise is significant, and it's a lot of work. So we're seeing companies very interested in that, you know, especially now when you read about ransomware. There was a recent, a recent ransomware attack on a very large Malaysian bank last year that closed out their systems. Everything had to be rebuilt from scratch. So, you know, people are concerned about things like that happening.
And in some ways, that has also changed the way businesses go about thinking of being digital first. It used to be just relying on the CTO or the CIO, but now it has really kind of enforced that, you know, in every single department and even every employee has that role and mandate to think digitally first.
Yeah, and it's a board level discussion. It's the board that are now saying, you know, we don't want you, we want customer contact, but contact means no physical contact. We want employee contact. Most offices, I'm not sure where it's like where you are, but certainly down in Singapore at the moment, I don't know what percentage of offices are open, but I would guess 10%. It's very, very few. So how, no one obviously wants to get called out for creating an environment where people come to an office and people get infected and then they spread that into the community. So these are board level discussions, not just about employee well-being, but, you know, bad publicity. It's just overall risk mitigation. So it's definitely top down.
I'm speaking to Stephen McNulty, the president APAC and Japan for Micro Focus, and we'll be right back in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
But films, man. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. And today on the show with me is Stephen McNulty, the president APAC and Japan for Micro Focus. And we're talking about strengthening business continuity through digital. Stephen, now, you know, The challenges that businesses are facing, even though they, you know, most of them have reopened, is, you know, they're not able to recover most of the damages that, you know, happened in the last 4 to 5 months or so. How can they then go on and build a resilient technology infrastructure when they are already financially, stretched?
Yeah, and I think certainly some industries affected definitely worse than others. You know, obviously airlines and other aspects of hospitality are quite decimated. So the companies, first of all, they've got to take stock of where they're at and work out where their business is at and how much money they've got and where they need to focus, how they can adapt to whatever the new normal, back to the beginning of our conversation, back to whatever a new normal might look like. And as much as no one knows, I think we can all make some general assumptions around less customer contact, less physical contact, more distributed people, automation where possible. And this is not just automation of customer contact, but automation of back office processes, of patching systems so that people don't have to be in the office to patch the servers, which, as you know, companies, an average size company, a small size company, potentially got hundreds of servers, but a big company, a bank, could have thousands of servers. Someone needs to do patch management so that when something is released by the hardware or software vendor, it gets done. So automating all of that, so there's just less reasons for people to physically touch anything. So it's about taking stock, seeing where you're at, seeing where the quick wins are, seeing where the immediate vulnerabilities are. The fastest area we've seen interest in at the moment is cybersecurity, because people are concerned because of the distributed nature of work from home, but also the automation and speed and agility of being able to adapt to situations, because things like we discussed at the beginning of the call are changing on a daily basis. You know, countries and cities that were closed yesterday are open tomorrow, and then, as we just saw with Victoria and Melbourne, can be closed again weeks later, and companies have got to adapt to that. Companies that are considered critical infrastructure, so utilities, people providing water, power, etc., banks, you know, the people still need money to survive, healthcare systems. So how all of that continues to operate and then the feeder ecosystems around it, the people providing services to these organizations, the SMEs, how they maintain their relationship with those larger organizations so that they can continue to do business with them. So security, automation, big data analytics, and just the general agility to adapt to situations that none of us have ever experienced before. And as we're seeing all around the world at the moment, things change really quickly.
And it just goes to show how everything is just intertwined, from various different sectors and industry verticals as well.
Yeah, it's the ecosystem. People think of, let's pick an airline or a hospital or whatever, but the ecosystem that they rely on and inversely that rely on them is absolutely massive and touches everyone from the delivers newspapers to them to people providing, meal services to the people in those organizations and vice versa. So it touches everyone. I guess the scary thing is here, the knock-on effect over the next 12 months to all of our economies is quite unknown. It's certainly globally in the trillions. And I think governments around the world at the moment are just working out how they can pay for all of this increased borrowing and what they do to fund it.
So how have you with Micro Focus enabled businesses to just continue and strengthen their digital transformation plan that now it's ever more so important?
So taking what we call relevant solutions to these customers and saying, is this a problem that you think you have? Now, generally, almost every big bank in the world uses our software, every big healthcare company, most of the airlines, etc. So we're quite familiar with what they do. And if one has a problem, typically all of them have the same problem. So we're taking automation to them, which simplifies processes, automates it, and reduces the physical need for customers or anyone to come to an office. Cybersecurity, taking proactively solutions to these people. Some of them have had very immediate concerns, i.e., we're working from the office today, and then next Tuesday everyone's working from home. So we provided lots of free licensing to our customers so that they can adapt very quickly to what they need to do, and then work out with us later whether they actually need those licenses or that permission or not. But we've gone out of our way to make sure that we are not opportunistic and not trying to either take advantage, but also to make sure we enable these companies to move as quickly as they possibly can and focus on what they need to do, i.e. providing healthcare services, providing social services, providing banking service to their customers. And then we'll sort out everything else that needs to be done later.
And how are businesses thinking of the long-term plans? And because things are very uncertain at the moment, and yet, you know, they're investing in, you know, newer platforms and newer kind of digital strategies to move ahead. How are they looking at in terms of making this as a long-term plan, knowing that, you know, in time to come, people might actually just prefer going back to the office instead of working from home?
Yeah, it's funny because I talk to lots of people about this, lots of our customers and our partners. And of course, being a, you know, we've got 12 or 13,000 people, we talk a lot internally as well and trying to work out what our environment might look like and talking to them about what their environment might look like. There's a general belief that there will be some return to office, but nowhere on the scale that it once was. A lot of people like working from home, but in saying that, a lot of people don't. A lot of people like social interaction. A lot of people physically can't work from home because they just don't have the space, especially in countries where real estate is quite expensive. So there will be a situation that is somewhere between where we are and where we were, and we're trying to help customers plan for that around the solutions where we can actually enable things. Again, the key here is to provide them what we would call agility, the ability to be not locked into a particular rigid licensing system so they can flex in and out as needed between different licensing models or scale. Hence, you know, the helping people move to public cloud where needed and manage the more complex infrastructure you have when you've got some systems on-premise and lots of systems on cloud. So thinking about your question, the one word I would come up with is agility, allowing people the freedom to move and adapt into whatever end state we all end up in.
For the SMEs who may not have the wide reach of network and I guess also the muscle power to move during this point of time, for them it's mostly just about surviving this pandemic and even surviving for the year. What sort of advice would you give to, you know, SME owners out there who are looking at 2020 as just a complete wipeout, and if they, you know, get through the year, it's considered as a success?
Yeah, that's sad and tricky because we see it all over the place. Even just walking around and driving around Singapore, and just in the last 4 weeks, and going to areas that I would use not from a business perspective, but personally, like bike shops where you know parts for bicycles. And you went to an estate where there used to be four shops, and now there's one. And you think, wow, this is just one part of the economy. And where is it all gone? The only advice, and you know, obviously I'm not a predictor of the future, but the only advice I can think of is you need to think of a way to adapt. That we all need to think of different ways of doing business. And just a very quite a personal example, I had to get a repeat prescription, you know, something I've done hundreds of times before in my life and my family have. And you're limited in going to the doctor and called them up and said what we can do. And then we did a video call, the equivalent of Zoom or whatever, and we did a video call with a doctor, which I've never heard of in my life before. The doctor talked to me, saw who I was, and then for $20 extra, they couriered the prescription to me. And, you know, if 6 months ago you had called up a doctor's surgery and say, hey, I can't be bothered coming in, I'm busy, any chance we can do a Zoom call and you can ship me a prescription across, they would have laughed at you. You know, they would have said, oh, it's not allowed, it's against government policy, or we can't do that. So there's a business that has adapted, and they've done very well. So survival is tough, and business conditions are tough and probably not likely to get better until things stabilize globally. So just think of new ways to do business, and you know, with that comes new business opportunities for them, but also creates new business opportunities for us, because as businesses adapt, they still have to do things like, for example, comply with government regulations around data privacy, different data privacy regulations and permissions, etc. And that opens up opportunities for us to work with them on areas like that.
And that's a key, right? There are still plenty of opportunities as we go through the uncertain teaser that lies ahead. Because with all this constant change, even though we kind of, you know, call it as the new norm, it's not really, you know, set at the moment, because things would definitely change again in the next few months, and there are more opportunities that will come along.
Yeah, and you know, and the Malaysian government are obviously helping with funding around business initiatives and digitalization, etc., as well. And so have the ideas and, you know, put your hand up for those grants and see what you can do.
Well, Stephen, it's been a real pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you again. And look forward to talking to you some other time.
And that was Stephen McNulty, the president APAC in Japan for Micro Focus. And we've been talking about strengthening business continuity through digital. And if you missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast now available on the BFM website or the BFM app. My name is Jeff Zandu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.